It is possible that you might have heard one of his, because it was the biggest at the time. And he did it live on Discord, but then he would put it out as an audio podcast. And it was the Buy Forever show. That's why I thought, because you mentioned Buy Forever earlier on, so I thought you might be.
Yeah, no, Buy Forever Family, or but no, I think it was like Married to Clash or something that I listened to a couple of times.
It's March 25th, 2022, and welcome to the 12th episode of Married to Clash. I'm Queen Gay. Yep, I'm Queen Gay Gay B. And this will be my week. Okay, let's try that again.
This good thing you're not in Florida. You'd be going to jail.
Stop. Okay. Try again. It's March 25th, 2022, and welcome to the 12th episode of Married to Clash. I'm Queen JJB, and I'm joined by my other half, Brew.
Hello.
And Miss P.
Hi.
And BTG.
Are we recording?
Who is frozen? Okay, there he is.
Probably me.
Are we recording?
We are. I think Miss P did it, right? Okay. I see the little teddy bear. All right. Our segments this week will be event updates and CFF news as usual. And then we have some interesting Clash topics from GCBC. We'll tackle those. GCBC.
Weird. GCBC never gives us any topics.
Okay. Oh, I know.
Well, I mean, they're an interesting...
It's awesome. It's awesome. I'm not giving you a hard time, GC. That's we appreciate it.
It's definitely going to be an interesting conversation. So for the event updates, so coming up, we have Clash Wars, which is always a good time. All TH are welcome. It's a no dip, no reach friendly war. And the rule of the war is that when you hit your second war attack, you have to use the war attack that was used on you the first time. So you're cloning the war attack that they used on you. So there's a little bit of strategy there. You can...
That's great.
You know, if you know that you're... I don't know, I guess we'll do mirrors, I guess. I don't know. But if you know that your mirror is not great with air, you can use air or vice versa. You know, could be good strategy.
If you're against Miss P, I don't like hogs.
Sure.
I'll remember that.
So tricky.
Might be against Miss P.
You're so tricky, Miss P.
Right. That still got them.
We have a lot of ongoing events that happen in CFF. So we have the House Cup War thing. You get points for talking in the server. We have the monthly Legends winner that Morgan runs. And Magerian Army does a 50v the weekend after. I think it's the weekend after, right? The weekend after CWL. So there's a lot of ongoing stuff. Yeah. Mini Wars, Mini Mondays, and KGH. So every Monday they spin, I think it's TH11 and down. So join Clash Files Discord to get more information on how to do these things. Okay, completed events. So the last time we recorded was a really long time ago. It was February 4th for the Valentine's.
It's beast
bald. Yep.
Shut up.
For the Valentine's event. I'm sorry, the Valentine's episode. But we had a Valentine's event going on, which was the Don't Go Wall Breaking My Heart that weekend. I was not in that. Was anyone else in that? Ms. P, were you in that? No? I'll take that as a no. I honestly don't know what happened with that, and I couldn't find it in Discord, but I'm sure it was a lot of fun. completed other things that we have completed since the last episode. Noble Hero did a Green is Gold FC tournament that was basically centered around the color green because it was St. Patty's Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
And we did TH14 and TH13, and you had to roll the dice to get the number of goblins. So if you rolled a 5, you times it by 10, you have to use 50 goblins in your attack. And then you had to use 3 baby drags because those were the only 2 green troops we had. So we had, I guess about, I think there was 14 TH14s, ironically. And there was only 2 TH13s. Brew and Ink.
Yeah, and Ink kicked my butt.
Ink kicked his butt.
Come on, Ink.
And for the TH14, Snoopy ended up being the champion of that. He went against...
Surprise.
Yeah, he went against Agent Paladin in the final and did very well. It was good. I think it was like 89% to 82% or something like that. They both needed, I think one had 40 goblins and one had 60 or 50. So there was a lot of goblins. But
I think Snoopy forgot his baby dragons the first time.
No, not that. That
was last week.
That was the first.
Yeah.
That was the one against me. Yeah. And then our February champion Legends League winner, it was Michigan. I don't know what clan Michigan's in. Jen, do you know?
I'm not sure.
I feel like he's a PZ person. But I might be wrong. Maybe he's a Dark Sector or Red Thorn.
Yeah, I'm leaning more towards that too.
Yeah.
I know I've seen him around.
You're probably like confusing Eddie, who's from Michigan, with Michigan.
No. I don't think so.
In PZ.
But
Eddie's PZ.
Okay. Well, I wonder if Michigan is like a top half of Michigan or a bottom half of Michigan, whatever they're called.
A youper or a troll.
A youper or a troll.
Or a troll.
I don't know the answer to that. Michigan, if you listen, let us know and we will tell the listeners next time. Okay. Chats. I'm sorry. Clash topics. Chats. Clash topics. All right. So I'm going to give a disclaimer. GCBC gives a lot of detail, so bear with me. Okay. In 2016, Tencent bought 50% of Supercell, and in 2019, they bought just a little bit more to get a majority interest. Since then, they have improved the game a lot whilst making, GCBC is British, so whilst making a ton of money. The recent China server split, which we all heard about, hopefully, has revealed cultural differences of which I was ignorant, I being GCBC. Their healer has been given less of a plunging neckline. Their poison spell has been renamed Damage Spell and is now colored green and has no skulls. Fair enough, we should respect that our culture is relatively permissive and we don't want to offend others. But this got me thinking, what if this is the tip of the iceberg? It's possible that Tencent might have become a more hands-on and influence the way Clash gameplay has evolved to maximize its appeal to their enormous domestic population. That's what I would do in their shoes. The Western player base is dwindling. The Clash universe is overwhelmingly Caucasian, and China venerates the dragon. I can think of no other major nation in which the dragon is as culturally relevant. And it might not be a coincidence that under Tencent, we've now entered what I would call the dragon era. The 2 out of 3 last new troops have been dragons and a buff to dragons at every TH. I don't really know how to put this as a question to you, but over to you. Chinese dragon, meaning colors, symbols, mythology, and types. And he gave me a travel guide that he gave me. So.
Well, clearly GCBC is forgetting about Valeria and Westeros. I mean, they obviously are really big into dragons as well.
They are. That's true.
So I don't know if it's just a Chinese thing.
It could be a Westeros thing.
Westeros, and Valyria did, they went through the doom, so they got, they're not really around anymore, but last we knew, the last dragon is actually in Essos right now, we think, but...
we think.
Yeah.
We kind of lost track.
Yeah.
Whose dragon was that?
It was Drogon.
Yeah.
Drogon. Yeah. And he flew away with Daenerys.
Right.
We assume he went to Valyria with her. But,
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
So I don't think it's just a Chinese thing, So.
True. But let's go with the spirit of the question. Let's talk about Clash. And
that's a good freeze.
Yeah, I know. We can't see Miss P. BTG is freezing.
I know. My internet is being stupid.
Okay. So, I will tell you that I have forever been a ground person, and I use dragons now. So, that's saying something. considering I'm, 8 or 9 years into the game. So, that's pretty impressive that for probably the last month...
Yeah,
I've been using dragons and e-drags and loons. I do see that dragons are pretty OP right now. Would agree with that. I find it very interesting, the changes that they made, though. And I guess the split in the servers was one of the driving factors of giving them the ability to do that, I would assume. I think this helps me understand why they did the server split now, so that they could do this like cultural tailoring, for lack of a better way of saying it.
Yeah,
I feel about a green poison spell.
It's orange. It's always been orange. Why are they changing it?
I get, maybe orange is offensive in Chinese culture.
Right.
Well, aren't dragons orange?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
That new dragon thing, whatever it is, it's orange.
The super dragon?
Yeah.
Super dragon's pretty heavy. He's pretty cool. I don't know, Jen, are you using air?
Absolutely not. My first attack in probably weeks was just the war we just did in Noble Hero.
Okay.
But I got a 6-pack.
Nice.
I know.
I've actually been just over probably the last week. I've been stuck with Yetis or drags for a long time. I'd say months. And I just this past week I started to try to bring back my Lalo skills a little bit. For funsies, but I mean, air's been the strongest type of attack, I would say, man, a really long time, almost as long as I can remember, because Lalo was always, ever since the Hound came along, Lalo has been something that's been incredibly powerful, and it's never really been unpowerful or not powerful. Like, it's always been around.
He says he's going to teach Brew how to Lalo when we're there on Memorial Day.
Good lucky.
Don't laugh at that.
We'll see. I don't know. Ink's pretty lucky. He tells us all the time, so maybe he can make it happen.
So, I mean, I think, part of it is, Air's always had... Air's always had a little bit of an advantage. There's fewer air, defenses that can hit air than ground, for one.
I think there was a little minor, small period where air was not OP. And it was like during that horrible time in Clash it was, I think, AWL season 2, where, like, nothing worked.
Right.
Do you remember?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah. I do. I've tried to forget, but I remember. So,
but there's been times where Air has just, like, I would say there have been more times where Air has been just broken compared to times where Ground has been broken.
Yeah.
And at the same time,
has more troops though. Well, I guess it's pretty even now, but it used to be that Ground had more troops.
For sure.
So it was easier to do the thing, whatever the thing may be with Ground. Right. So I'm going to give some quick facts from GCBC's link about Chinese dragons.
Do it.
Okay.
Chinese dragons don't exist factually. There's no evidence to prove that they're real. Okay. I think we agree to disagree. The dragon is one of the 12 Chinese zodiac signs. Emperors in ancient China were identified as sons of dragons. And at that time, ordinary people were not allowed to have items with pictures of dragons on them. Chinese dragons are symbolic of being lucky, propitious, powerful, and noble. Not as the monsters that we portray in our Western stories. Most Chinese dragons have long bodies like snakes, sharp claws like hawks, less like dinosaurs than the Western dragons are. And this one I found very interesting. I wonder if they're going to do something with this. Chinese dragons live at the bottom of seas, rivers, lakes, and anywhere near water.
Oh.
So what if we had, like, this, the new defense is like a dragon that comes out of that lake or river or whatever that is that's next to our village.
Oh. That'd be really cool, by the way.
I know.
That could be interesting.
What's the dragon in Raya and the Last Dragon? I can't remember what it's saying. It basically lived in the water. It was really cool. It was more feathery than, like, reptilian. Which means they're more than likely they could have been more like dinosaurs than most people think, because lots of dinosaurs had feathers. We're finding now.
Yeah. Okay. Different dragon colors mean different things. So red dragons are lucky, and they bring good fortune. Black dragons represent evil and are used for revenge. White dragons symbolize purity and virtue. No shock there.
All right.
Blue and green dragons symbolize the approaching of spring, new life, and plant growth. Yellow dragons represent wisdom, good fortune, and power. And golden dragons symbolize wealth, prosperity, strength, harvest, and power. Red is China's luckiest color. So I wonder if we're going to see more red.
Oh.
Hmm. Hmm. Could be interesting. I don't know. I mean, what I would really like is if they would come up with some sort of, like, maybe dragon king or dragon hero. That would be cool.
Ooh, yeah.
Town Hall 15!
Mm. I know, right?
So that's the question. When's that coming? We've been at 14 for a while now.
A little over a year, right?
It's got to be more than a year. I'm Max, and the fact that I made it to Max means it's been a while.
Yeah, you stole my thunder. I was gonna shout you out for that because I noticed that the other day.
Aww, that's kind of cool, though.
This is the very first time that I have ever been Max yet. What the heck, man?
I know.
I only play when I have things to upgrade, but you still have things to upgrade and you don't play.
Well,
you play, but, you know. Yeah, I finished everything. Everything's done.
I think I'm down to, like, 30 walls. I've been slowly plugging away at it. But back to the whole, you know, China dragon thing, I don't necessarily feel like, you know, the dragons have been buffed as a result of, you know, the Chinese population is probably becoming a larger portion of the players in Clash of Clans. I just feel like there was a long time after there was quite a while after, you know, most of us went through Town Hall 7 and 8 where, you know, dragons were a two-star strategy. And they just did not have the power or the mechanism, the AI, whatever you want to say. They just did not work for three stars at Town Hall 9 and above. So I think a lot of it had to do to just, they were just trying to make them a viable troop in general. You know, and I don't think it necessarily had anything to do with the Western population playing less Clash than before. I just think it was, we want to try and make them a more viable troop. And, you know, there's a lot to be said that, I mean, people really want to enjoy the game and mm-hmm. have some strategies that aren't so technical that you can have success with. And, you know, in general, these higher town halls have become quite a bit more spammy than, you know, the old TH9 days, with the exception of Jen. She can hog anything. But not saying the technical strategies won't work at the higher town halls, but there's so less room for error that most people are really gravitating more towards those more spammy type attacks at the higher town halls, because you don't want to get caught with your pants down and get a one star, right? You want to at least get to a high percentage two with a chance of getting three, and that's where your spammy attacks come in. So I think just where the game went, it required to have an air option that wasn't Lalo, that's a more technical attack, where it was more, a little bit more spray and pray like dragons give you. So I don't think I don't necessarily think it's a cultural thing as to why they've buffed the dragon so much. And I don't think it's gonna, you know, that the changes they're making on the server for the Chinese servers are necessarily gonna come our way. And if they do, who cares? It's a game. It's a cartoony game, right? So who cares if the healer is showing less cleavage? I mean, you know, that's not something I ever noticed in the first place. So it's definitely one of those situations where I don't think that the cultural differences have really led to the changes that we've seen. And if the cultural differences end up changing the game in a certain way, I don't really care that much.
Okay. Ms. P, you have an opinion?
I don't like dragons. I actually agree with Ben. Yeah.
G5!
Nope, don't like dragons.
No J5, all right.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, when I did the J5, that was a really cool attack. That was back in the Town Hall 9 days. Those days are like, you know what I mean?
And dragons were a small portion of that attack. Well, not as small.
Right. Town Hall 11 was the highest town hall back then. Like. But it was really cool to do that attack. I really did like dragons.
Okay.
Well, I can definitely see 10 cent, which is 1/5 of 50 cent, obviously. Being, you know, they're protecting their investment. And if they know that, you know, more of their customers are coming from Eastern countries where, you know, there are certain cultural faux pas. I mean, absolutely, they should make changes as a result of that. And those of us in the Western culture who don't care if the neckline plunges down to somebody's navel, you know?
Yeah.
If we're going to be upset that a cartoony game isn't showing enough cleavage for us, well, I mean, there's plenty of cartoony games out there that are a lot more risque than Clash.
For sure.
I mean, if you're playing Clash to see more cleavage from your healer, you're playing Clash for the wrong reason. And I would really question you. We'll just put it that way. But it's a great topic to discuss. It really is. I'm really interested to find out when TH15 comes too.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to see if it'll be... When's the next usual, you know?
Well, we haven't had a spring update, have we?
I don't think so.
Or when was that last balance update? Wasn't there a balance update within the last month or two?
We have not had a spring update. We had a small update.
Yeah, and the last... Didn't Darian say that they kind of had the goal of putting a new town hall out every year? I seem to remember them saying that, or him saying that. And if that's the case, because I was going through Discord earlier today and I saw something about like a TH14 anniversary war that Crystal the Join Head was doing. I didn't bother to look at what the date was on that, but it was fairly recent. It was recent enough for me to actually see the announcement for it. So I think I don't think it's been that much over a year. So I would say, you know, I'm guessing the next update's going to be the TH15 update, would be my guess. I could be wrong, but I would assume that the next update is going to be the TH15 update.
Easter. Just throwing that out there.
I'm going to say May or June, because there hasn't been any rumblings whatsoever yet. Mm-hmm. And Easter is what, 2 or 3 weeks away?
Yep. So that's too soon.
I think I might be a little too soon. Usually we get a rash of server maintenance breaks. And I know we've had a couple recently, but I mean, they become a lot more frequent, especially when they're going to be dropping a new town hall.
Memorial Day weekend when we're at Jen's.
That'd be 15. Really awesome. Why don't you guys get a hold of Darian and see if you can make that happen? Say, hey, we're having really this cool little Clash get together. It'd be really cool if we could all be working on the new update at the same time.
That would be really cool.
Jen, you got some pull. You got some pull with Supercell, right?
Oh, for sure. I just had lunch with them earlier today.
Good job, Jen.
I know, right? It was good.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, so I know there's a Coke versus Pepsi thing going on this weekend. Is anybody in that?
No, I'm not in that one.
Not either.
None of us. Good job. Coke is clearly superior.
Coke is clearly superior to Pepsi.
Oh, really? I'm a Pepsi girl.
Oh, that explains a lot.
Didn't go with me because we're not going to be around the attack this weekend anyway.
Yeah, I went red because I'm not going to be able to attack this weekend.
Well, we have the competition, so that's a good excuse.
That's true. And you have plans this weekend, don't you, bro?
Yep.
And Monday night, you've got big plans.
Yep.
We have big plans Monday night. Great big plans. I'm excited. Great,
Cooper's going to be in his happy zone.
Oh, my God, yes.
I'm going to sing every song, Jen. For the listeners, we are going to the Eagles concert that's coming to Philadelphia Monday night.
Yes, we are.
Take it easy.
We are.
Take it easy.
I think I just resolved our issue, Jen, so we should be able to come down Sunday.
Heck yeah.
Look at me multitasking.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
Yes.
Ben is like in his own little world over there.
Such he a is. He's singing. It. He's singing the.
Such a love face. I'm singing a bunch of Eagles songs for you. So
yeah, you are.
Don Don't Henley's worry, got nothing
I was
on me.
Listening.
He doesn't.
It's actually Vince Gill.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's Vince Gill.
Took over as their lead singer?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think so. He's part of the group now. I don't know. Is Don Henley the normal singer?
Yes.
Is he still alive?
As far as I know. Just a second. Hey Siri, is Don Henley still alive?
Yes.
Bruce says yes.
He's still alive.
Was born July 22nd, 1947, and is 74 years old.
There you go.
So what?
Which one of them died?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm just surprised that somebody would be going to an Eagles concert and not know who their original lead singer was. Just saying.
Listen, this is Bruce world, not mine. These were the most expensive concert tickets I have ever bought. And I told him, this is it this year. This is your one thing. I don't want to hear about anything else.
Concert tickets in general are just ridiculous.
And we're sitting up. We're like up. Like, we're not all the way up to the ceiling, but we're three rows on from the bottom on the top section.
So
there's
Elton
like
15 John.
Rows, so we're pretty close to the bottom.
Yeah. So Elton John just played in Minneapolis. Oh, or was it St. Paul? I can't. In the Twin Cities. And I looked into the tickets really quick. And, like, the cheapest I could find was $800. I was like,
They weren't that expensive.
Elton John.
But they were more than that for four. But they weren't that expensive.
Sure. But yeah, I would not, I can't justify spending $800 for Elton John. I mean, as much as I like him, no.
Yeah, I will tell you the one that I would spend the money on again to go see one more time because I was super sick.
Billy Joel.
Was Billy Joel.
Billy Joel would be cool too. Well, and you saw Phil Collins.
I've ever been to. We did. It was good. I'm not a huge Phil Collins fan. I had a great time. I had more fun watching him like interact with his son who was playing the drums for him.
Sure. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Then I did the actual concert. But I would say like my top three concerts is Billy Joel. Probably like I really liked Kid Rock and Def Leppard.
Yes.
That was a good one. And then we saw back before they were big, Little Big Town, open up for Keith Urban,
right?
And that was such a good concert because Keith Urban is such a musician. He played every single instrument on the stage.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Mm-hmm. And we had really good seats that helped. But yeah. And then I guess cool. Like non-singers, TSO, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, is just incredible in person.
Highly recommend.
Yeah. If you
saw Keith Urban. I saw Keith Urban at the Bandshell at the county fair just to the east of me for free. He was just playing at their Bandshell. That's I mean, it was great. My sister's like, "Hey, do you like Keith Urban?" And I was like, "I don't know. He was pretty new, and
yeah.
I mean, it was more of like, yeah, chicks dig him, but not necessarily for me." But mm-hmm. I saw him perform there, and I was like blown away. It was like, "Holy cow, yeah. This guy's amazing!"
Yes, he's very the best very concert. Good.
Yeah, the best concert I've ever been to is Garth Brooks, though. I mean, if you haven't seen Garth Brooks live,
I have.
That's amazing.
He's just
definitely ridiculous. Up there. That was so long ago.
Yeah, it was.
That I forgot.
Right. Well, he was touring like a year or two ago. So
I know, before but we didn't COVID, get to go. So. Yeah,
I didn't get to go either. He played out in Sioux Falls, and I could have got tickets for it. But again, it was one of those deals where it's like, man, tickets are so danged expensive now. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I liked the first time he did his concerts, I think it was like $23.50 or something.
For any ticket.
For any ticket.
Where it was.
You had to get like a bracelet thing.
Yep.
And I sat... actually, where we're going, where Jen and her man friend, I don't know what we're calling Shane.
Are we letting the cat out of the bag now?
Already out of the bag.
Her I didn't know if we were sharing friend. That, but Jen and her other half, let's call it other half, where we're going to see the Eagles... is where I saw Garth Brooks. And yep. I sat up top, probably second or third row about where we sat, but he had like a an open stage, so we sat like right behind the stage. And when they started the music, we were the ones that were like above the stage, so we could see the like middle of the piano come open. And then he came out of the middle of the piano.
We were standing next to... Well, not next to, but where they did the sound.
Oh, you were next to the sound booth.
Yep.
You were on the floor?
Somehow.
Oh. Yeah, I hate floor tickets because I'm too short. I can't see anything. My the mom last got time I Rue saw... and I. Go ahead, Ben.
I was going to say, the last time I saw Garth, it was back when he... Like, they... he. Like at the beginning of the show, he got catapulted from the middle of the stage. It's like instead of just raising up slowly, it was like boom, he got shot out of the middle of the stage at the beginning of the show. So
yeah,
that was friggin' awesome.
Yeah, I just remember him rising up out of the center, and he was singing.
He was in the piano.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't in the piano. It was like
so
literally
you were
like
a tour before
shot.
Us. Yeah,
it like literally shot him out of the middle of the stage, and he like flew like 3-4 feet in the air. And
I think the tour that I saw was like 96 or 97.
He sold out like 8 concerts in an hour.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I had a girlfriend back then that got me. He's the reason I listen to country music.
Right, and that's what's BS about concert tickets nowadays. It's like. You know, they sell out so quick, and the reason why they sell out so quick is because they have so many, like, secondary market people that they reserve tickets
the
for.
The bot things and stuff, yeah.
Exactly.
They didn't back then.
No,
they didn't
you
have
had to
that
go.
Back then. Right.
She went to Boscov's. Do you guys remember Boscov's?
No.
Did you have Boscov's?
Yeah, I did.
She went to the Boscov's Ticketmaster counter with her wristband. Oh my God. That she had gotten like 2 days before that. And if you had a wristband, you could buy 4 tickets, and that was
it. We waited in Doylestown at the Kinney bookstore with Mikey, his dad, me. I think it was just 4 of us.
Yeah.
So chances are your Eagles tickets, you probably bought them on the secondary market. Like somebody probably.
I bought them on StubHub. Yeah.
Yeah, so you couldn't, like, if you would have tried to get them from Ticketmaster, you probably would have been, if you got them, you would have been super, super lucky. So then you end up having to buy them on the secondary market.
but they didn't have good ones left, and they were the ones I got were cheaper than the ones on Ticketmaster.
But Ticketmaster sells on the secondary market too.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's who runs the tickets for Wells Fargo is Ticketmaster.
Right,
but I perused everywhere. Vivid Seats and
excuse me,
what's that one that they're advertising now? Where like the people have their app out and they're like, he paid $97 and she paid $16.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that one is, that didn't work either. It was BS. So
yeah, that's false advertising. They may be one of those lucky, and I think that's more for like sporting events, like last minute tickets where somebody's just trying to. Okay.
It was there. They were there, but there wasn't like these super cheap tickets. It was just tickets, like same prices everywhere else. James. Right.
Yep.
Enough.
Yes, there.
But it is. It's really frustrating to try to get concert tickets these days and live events. I mean, they're so much fun.
Yeah.
And there's so much demand for them that's why all these people with the bots and the secondary markets are coming in, and it's frustrating because ordinary average people like us end up having it. Like a lot of that money's not going to the artist, right? They're not going to the artist, and that's what I mean. It'd be different if it's like, okay, I'm going to spend $200 on a ticket, and I know it's going to go to the artist, but instead, like. 75% of that's actually going to go to somebody just selling it on the secondary market. It's like you're playing the stock market for buying concert tickets. And that's, I think it's ridiculous.
I was listening to 80s on 8 the other day, and Richard Marx was on.
Okay.
There's a name from the past, right?
Right.
But he was talking about how different the revenue stream is for artists now that there's no like actual records being sold, and how most artists that start today have to make their money from touring, because I mean, like Apple's charging what, 99 cents a song, and if you pay I don't know how much an individual membership is for Apple Music, but we have a family and it's $14.99.
Right.
So if you pay $14.99, you can download everything. Like there's no, so the return for them used to be low as it was, and now it's like basically non-existent. So it's crazy. Like he was talking about that and how he, you know, he said, he was very thankful that he was in an era where record sales mattered, and it was, and it was like how you made your money, you know? So weird. We went down a rabbit hole that had nothing to do with Dragons or Clash, but, I don't know, Jen, we all said ours. No, bet Brew, you didn't say yours. What was your favorite concert ever that you've been to?
She's thinking
Jen's hers.
Did we lose her?
No, I thought you just said you were asking Brew.
No.
Me? God, I don't know. I haven't been to like older concerts like that, but I'm gonna be like really retarded and say Clay Aiken.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have minded seeing him.
Honestly, I really liked him.
We went to a Josh Groban concert long ago, and it was incredible.
Yeah. His orchestra.
I listened to Train. I went on vacation at Darien Lake, and I was camped out right behind the concert, and literally we sat at the fire and listened to Train all night.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was super cool. I mean, we didn't see him, obviously, but literally it was like having... like just it, like somebody would just turn them on the radio.
Nice. I saw Train at Bash in the Grass. The Bash in the Grass, there used to be like a concert, like a music festival. So I went to South Dakota State, and there's like a music festival around, just out in the kind of the middle of nowhere around Brookings. And yeah, so Train was there and Coolio was there.
Oh, no way.
So, I mean, it was just like, I mean, you saw some pretty amazing acts there. Train and Coolio are the ones that I remember the most.
Oh my God.
But yeah, Train puts on a good show too, for sure. And I almost got kicked out.
Oh my! You
not surprised?
Why?
What happened?
Well, I was basically protecting a girl. Like there was people that were like basically like, how do you do a mosh pit to Train? But there was people like pushing people around, and this poor girl was getting like thrown around, and I basically stepped in and like was like keeping people off of her. And like, so what would happen is if you're being really disruptive, like the crowd would like push you up, and then they'd like get crowd surf you to the front, and you'd get kicked out.
Oh.
And some people, and I was a lot smaller back then. But there was some people that were definitely threatening to like crowd surf me up to the front, but thankfully that didn't happen. But yeah, it was crazy. I was a little under the influence at the time.
substances.
It was a music festival. It was like Woodstock. It had rained the day before. Everybody was muddy. It was a blast. Oh my God, it was fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think
the next day wasn't very fun. But
sure not.
Yes, and for some reason, like the entire day, we were like doing the Matthew McConaughey. All right. You know, so, but that was, you know, back in my college days. 20 yeah, freaking years
back
ago.
In the day. So Brew wanted to see.
20 years ago.
Brew wanted to see Metallica.
Okay, 22 years ago.
Okay.
And I mean, I like Metallica. Don't get me wrong.
That was actually a really good concert.
It was. He wanted to see Metallica, so my girlfriend Cheryl and her husband Jay, the four of us got tickets, and we get there. And the opening act is on, and it sounds like the guy is trying to eat the microphone. Like, it was super, like, heavy death metal. And I was like, I can't. I cannot do this. I will sit out here in the hallway until they're done. I can't sit here.
I think there's, like, two songs left.
Yeah, we got there pretty late. We ended up eating it. Mm-hmm. Xfinity Live was pretty new back then. We may go there, Jen.
Okay.
Bruce says we are. Okay. So it's right across the street. Or actually, it's in the same parking lot.
Yeah, it is.
It's the venue. But we went to Xfinity Live and checked it out. I think it was like really new, mm-hmm. like almost just opened. And I remember sitting in there, and I remember Cheryl saying to me, maybe we should just stay here. And I was like, I mean, I would stay here. And she's like, right. I knew you would. But Brew, well, she calls him Jim. Jim wouldn't want to do that. I was like, no. I was like, we paid for the tickets. We should go. But we went to the concert, and then we went back to Xfinity Live. But the Metallica concert, part of the concert, was very, very good. And it was James's daughter's birthday. She was like 7 or 8. So she had 60,000 people sing happy birthday to her.
Oh, wow.
It was really cute. And then they went to their, like, finale or whatever, the last song, and they had all these, like, great big...
Beach balls
that had, like, skulls on them. And all of their kids, you could see them. There was, like, because we were pretty high up, you could see, like, it was a square center stage, and there was, like, a ditch on either side.
Yeah.
And the wives and the kids were in all of both sides. Well, there must have been a tunnel that went under the bottom of the stage, because you could see like the kid would disappear on one side and then they would pop up on the other side.
Oh my God.
And when all the beach balls came down, all the kids came up on the stage. I guess they were allowed to at that point, and threw balls at their dads.
Oh, I mean,
while they tried to like sing and play.
I don't think they missed the beat.
No, they kept going.
Playing the guitar. They kicked. Oh my God.
But it was really, I mean, they were laughing and stuff. It was great. It was really cool to see, like, you think about them as these, like, big, tough guys that play heavy metal, and then you see them, like, melt into the fact that their kids are, like, you know, having a good time hitting them with beach balls. It was really cute. What is your favorite concert, babe?
My favorite concert?
Yeah. It's a tough question. Let Brew think about it. What were you going to say, Ben?
I was going to say, I have the concert that Miss P will probably be really, really jealous that I got to go to that she didn't.
Uh-oh. What is it?
I got to see DC Talk open up for Michael W. Smith.
Really?
Who the heck is that? I don't even know who those people are.
DC Talk and Michael W. Smith? Oh, my God. I'm so jealous.
I don't know who DC Talk is.
I still know who you're talking about.
Miss B, you know who those people are, right?
They're Christian rappers. And then Michael W. Smith is, oh God, I mean, he was around forever.
I know that name. But I don't know DC Talk. Forever.
Lord.
Miss B is singing Christian rock.
And friends, friend forever.
That's such a great song.
I've been to so many. I don't think I can.
You've talked about Ozfest a lot.
Oh my God.
Ozfest. Oh my God.
Journey was good too. I saw Journey like. Ooh,
how
I don't
can
know.
Journey not be your favorite?
No, it's not my favorite. You know what? Honestly, from like a from a memory standpoint, Journey is probably my favorite. It was 4th of July weekend. It was, and usually we're super hot and humid, but that night it was like, and it was before Brew and I were together. I went with my ex, but it was like 72 degrees. There was a little bit of a breeze. It was an outdoor concert. We were on like the grass. And then where the venue is, Miss Pete, do you remember when we went to that aquarium? There was... Uh-huh. There was like a venue down the walkway a little bit. There was like a great big, that's where we were. So we were right on the river. So we were in Camden and right across the river is Philadelphia, and it was 4th of July weekend and it was Friday and there was fireworks during Faithfully. And it was just such the perfect moment. You saw the entire, it was really funny because the entire lawn section that could see the river literally turned their chairs and looked at the fireworks while they were singing. But it was really, really, like, from a memory standpoint, kind of like the best, like, relaxing, most chill type of concert. That was definitely it. That was a really cool concert to be at.
If we're talking memories from the concert, the first Ozfest.
Yeah, Brew's been to like a couple Ozfests. Those are pretty.
But because
they're all day and there's like three stages and.
Yeah. The first, I forget who opened the first main stage. Whoever it was, it started downpour. Like.
And that's a concert you should mosh pit at, not
like three inch raindrops. So
yeah, I don't understand why people were pushing each other around during a train concert, but they were.
Like 4 hours before Ozzy came on. And when he came on, it stopped raining. So it was like, the gods opened up for Ozzy. I'm serious. It stopped. It didn't like clear, but it stopped raining when he came on.
One less thing to deal with.
So what's the coolest live event? Not just concert, live event that you've ever been to?
Ozfest.
Yeah, first. Okay.
Because that was nine.
Well, Miss P, you could have said like the Blizzard Bowl where the Bills took on the Patriots this past year. But you are too much of a sissy to go.
Listen, you know what? I talked to somebody who went to that game, and she got sick afterwards.
Of course she did.
Worth it.
No, she said it wasn't worth it. And she said I was a smart person for not going.
The coolest live
Fairweather fans.
Okay, I know what mine is. And I'm going to be a little bit of a geek here, so bear with me. But I don't know if anyone, Ben or Jen, I don't know if you've ever seen a drum corps competition or a drum corps in person.
Oh my God, yeah.
But I have been to Drum Corps International National Championships.
Amazing.
And it's like a 3-day crazy event. I went to day one and two. I did not get to go to like the big one, but, and it was probably one of the most amazing, like live in-person things I've ever been to. From like a pure awe and and respect point of view for talent and dedication. But a drum corps is basically like a glorified, not glorified, but it's like a next level marching band. They did like a study on them once, especially the drummers, the drumline, and their cardio output rivals like people who are doing like basketball, which is a lot of cardio, and you know, sprinter running and things like that. So it's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun. The wall of sound that comes at you. Bruce seen them. He's seen them in person, and he's seen the good ones too. Like we saw the blue. Blue Knights and stuff, Blue Coats. But we saw them locally. Seeing them at Nationals is like the end of the year, kind of the exclamation point on their season. And that they're up from high school up through like college age. College, you age out at 22.
You have to try out for them.
And, and they basically leave their houses like the end of June and they don't come back till the end of August or middle of August. So it's pretty cool. I did it one summer. I marched with the Crossmen.
That's where I got the, but, the Valkyrie shirt.
Yeah. They were a local drum corps and it was a really great experience. I would do it again if I could.
Yeah, SDSU had a drum line like that.
Yeah.
And the Vikings actually have a drum line. So, yeah, they're really cool.
So the Eagles, yeah. I think that's a pretty common thing, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, but when they're really good, that's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, this is more than just drum. So it's actually drum and bugle corps is what they call it, but it can be only brass instruments and then percussion instruments. So... the combination and removing the woodwinds, which is usually your, you know, pretty light sounding instruments, just makes it so much more intense when they're playing. But
and loud.
That was, yeah, they're very loud. That was probably the most amazing live event I've ever been to.
Steel drums in Jamaica.
That was yours? That was a really good point. Yeah, but it's still drums at the Infinity Lounge at our hotel. And Brew and I had like a day on the beach and we were, you know how like when you get off, when I think I shared something on Facebook recently about this, like the best nap is the one after you've spent the whole day on the beach and you have a little bit of sunburn and you get a shower and you wash everything off and you're still warm and you like snuggle up and fall asleep. Yeah, it's the best nap, right? So Brew and I had one of those days. Like we had a late dinner because we took a nap in the afternoon and we were still like tired, but we weren't like super tired. So we went up to the bar and we had a drink and there was a steel drum band there. And it was just so relaxing. Yeah. And they had these like huge sofas and there was really not a lot of people there. It was like Tuesday night or something. So we were able to just kind of like take up a whole sofa to ourselves. So we ended up like laying down, listening to these steel drum bands with drinks. God. It was great.
Memory.
Yeah, it's a great memory. Ben, what's yours since you asked the question?
You know, I would probably say, and I've been there a couple times, and this goes back to the days when I used to like ride a lot of horse and things like that. But in Brookings, every single year they have, or at least they used to. I'm not sure if they did do any more, but they have the Last Chance Rodeo, which is like the last rodeo where all the cowboys and cowgirls have the opportunity to qualify for the PRCA rodeo in Vegas. So, I mean, you have all these guys, you know, and gals, you know, doing their events, barrel racing, bronc busting, bull riding, steer wrestling, all that fun stuff. And, you know, you just see the effort that they're putting in because they know how much it means for them to, like, if they do well, they could qualify. And if they don't do well, you can just see the just the utter defeat knowing that they lost their opportunity. But it's intense and it's really fun to watch. And honestly, it's probably not the best rodeo in the world by any stretch of the imagination, but just knowing the stakes that are involved and seeing the raw emotion, like,
yeah,
if they do well or if they don't do well, I mean, it's, you know, and you find yourself cheering for every single one of them because you want them all to do really well. You know that not all of them are going to make it, but you want them all to do well.
Now that and you're cheering say for that, all of them. PTG went to a national rodeo a while ago.
Okay.
And those guys are legit.
Well, yeah. I mean, some of the guys that
yeah.
Yeah, that this Last Chance Rodeo. I mean, some of those guys ended up at the PRCA.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. PRCA was, finals, I should say.
Yeah. That was actually a pretty awesome event to go to.
Yeah, and I've been to a lot of rodeos in my life. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, like, the quality of the riding and just the stakes and the emotion involved with it makes it really cool. And going to SDSU, I mean, I went to school with a lot of cowboys that rodeoed, and just knowing what it meant to them and how much work they had to put into getting to that level in the first place. It was pretty cool. It's always fun to watch that.
What about you, Miss P?
What was the question?
What was your favorite live event?
Oh,
that you've ever been to? It doesn't have to be a concert. It could be. But...
I mean, you guys wouldn't know about it, but like, there's a big, huge 4th of July party out here that they do on beach, and I know the singer. So I always kind of liked going to, I mean, I went to tons of his concerts. He wasn't famous or anything. He actually does have some CDs out there, but he's just a local famous guy.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever done any other like live events besides concerts.
Yeah. I think we do a lot of live music locally. I mean, especially pre-COVID, but even last year, like there was a winery that started doing live. Yeah,
you guys were always showing us.
Yeah.
Concert stuff.
Yeah, we always go to live stuff. I love, my favorite thing to do is to sit outside and listen to live music.
I love sporting events in general, and I mean, I've been to some pretty, you know, I've been to some pretty fun sporting events, professional sporting events, but I mean, like, I remember back in 1987, one of the first Twins games I went to, went into extra innings, and Tim Laudner had a home run to end the game. And that was really cool because that was, you know, the first year the Twins won the World Series. And then, you know, I've been to some pretty intense Vikings games as well. But, yeah, there was just something about that Last Chance Rodeo that kind of put it over the top of all those other ones as well.
Yeah, I need to get to an Eagles game.
The Phillies game.
Oh, yes. I forgot.
When Bin Laden was captured.
I watched it. So I watched a 30 for 30 on this.
Yep.
The day that we killed Bin Laden.
Yep.
The United States killed Bin Laden. It was a Sunday. And there was no other sporting event that day except for the Phillies Mets game. That was the only sporting event that night. So it was like pretty televised. It was pretty broadly televised.
Mm-hmm.
So we had tickets to that game. By the way, they lost after 14 flipping innings, but we had tickets to that game. 1-0 too. Like, it was such a boring game. But I think it was like the 7th or the 8th inning. We were sitting next to a couple who was a... Grace, you need to turn that down, please. We were sitting next to a couple who were Mets fans, and they were very nice. And this was before I had a smartphone. No, neither one of us had smartphones. So we didn't know what was going on. But he had an iPhone, and he was kind of like mumbling to her, and you could hear... like the volume build around the stadium, it was really weird. It was very odd. And it was like, you know how when something's going on in a room and you're not quite sure what it is, but you can feel the energy change? It was packed that night. Mm-hmm. I think it was
sold out. Yeah.
And that means there was like 40,000 people there. And you could feel the energy change in the room. And it wasn't because of the game, because we were watching the game and I'm like, did I miss something? Yeah, I even looked at Jim and was like, did something happen? And he was like, no. And I'm like,
stretch, they stopped the game.
Yeah, it was right before the 7th inning stretch that the energy changed. And then the guy next to me was like, did you hear what happened? And I was like, no, we don't have smartphones. And he's like, look. And he showed me his phone and it said, United States kills Osama bin Laden. And as soon as I finished reading it, you heard the chant start. There was the USA chants. And the 30 for 30 talked to the announcers and the people that were doing like the TV coverage and the in-person coverage. And they were debating, do we tell people? Do we not?
Yeah.
Will they destroy the stadium? Like, what's going to happen? You know?
Only in Philly would they be worried about people destroying the stadium.
So... the 7th inning stretch comes and it goes. They do the whole song. Everything's done. The players don't go back out. And we're like, okay. And then they announced it. And it probably took 30 minutes for the chants to stop. But it was like such a cool moment to be with that many people at that moment in time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I now that you mention it, yeah, that was really cool.
I'm getting
that would be my favorite.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't think about it, but yeah. I mean, it was such like as an American, it was such a proud moment. Yeah. And my brother went over and fought in the war, and you know, he has lifelong impacts from it, so it was good to know that we at least did something.
Right.
You know, so it was, you're right, babe. That was the right answer. That was just such
sorry, a, Jen.
And nobody destroyed anything.
That's
everybody
okay.
was so happy. Like, super happy. There was no, like, usually the Phillies and the Mets play, and actually in the 5th inning, a whole 2 rows of Mets fans got kicked out. right down from us in the section. But usually there's like fights and crazy and the fact that that game was so long, I expected it to get worse and worse and worse, and it didn't. It was just very happy, and nobody cared that they lost. We all left and we were like, "What?" At least not the people I talked to. They were like, whatever, it's fine, whatever. Doesn't matter tonight. It's fine. We saved the whole 14 inning, by the way. I don't know why.
Yeah. And I've only been to a handful of extra inning games, but normally, you know, they basically cut the concessions off at a certain time and
start of the 9th inning or something like that. Right.
They stopped serving alcohol. The
7th inning
of the,
don't they?
Of the 8th.
It was at the top of the 8th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, that's the only thing about you know, an extra inning game that really sucks, but they're so intense that, like you said, it was a really boring game, 1-0 game. Like, that would be like my favorite type of game, to be honest with you. I love really low scoring games like that that take a lot of strategy to keep it that way.
I mean, I appreciate what it takes to, like, especially in baseball, what it takes to keep the other team from scoring. Like, I get all of that, right? And I love, you know this, Ben, and you all know this. I love sports. Like, most sports, I'm all in, right? And I understand baseball, and I understand football, and, you know, so I appreciate all of that. I'm not the girl that's like, they throw the ball and there's a strike and there's ball. Like, I get it all. But she acts like it, but I think she understands it way better than she lets on. But that night was just crazy. Like,
the real world events overshadowed the game.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah. Yes, and the only score was the 14th inning when the Mets scored. And I don't remember if they, like, put people on base and scored that way or if they got a home run. I don't recall. But, and then we had to bat after that. And then it became more about baseball again for just a minute. And sure. Then when they were done, that was like, it was like, nope, never mind. Okay, moving on. But yeah, it was really cool. Like, I was talking, because we were the very last row of the bottom section. So the security guards stand, like, at the top of the section, you know? Right behind us was, like, a, in Citizens Bank Park, there's, like, basically counter tables. Like, at the back of each section, there's, like, a long counter where you can stand and eat.
Mm-hmm.
And the security guy was behind us. You okay, Jen?
I keep sneezing. I'm sorry. I keep trying to get to mute myself.
I was like, is she okay? And I looked at the security guard and I'm like, you guys have had a quiet night. He goes, we've been talking on the walkie-talkie since that inning. There has not been one person thrown out of this ballpark, and that never happens. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, not one. And I was like, that's really cool. He's like, yeah, it's been nice. It's
like, for real.
You know, for real. It is Philly. I mean, we own who we are, but yeah, it's, and Philly's Mets is a huge rivalry. Like, that is the team. So,
right.
Yeah. Anyways. All right.
That reminds me of the 1991 Twins World Series where Jack Morris pitched a 10 inning shutout for us to win the World Series. I mean, that's why I love those types of games, because it reminds me of that specific game.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I know people will probably disagree with me, but I feel like that is likely the greatest pitching performance in a World Series ever. You know, some people might say the Curt Schilling Bloody Sock game, stuff like that, but you know, Jack Morris, you know, pitching a shutout. Of course, he was, you know, the Braves were pitching a shutout at the same time.
Yeah.
But, you know, him coming in, telling Tom Kelly, nope, I'm not coming out. I'm going out for the 10th. You know, you can try and pull me, but it's not going to happen. And then going out and pitching one more inning of shutout ball, and then we finally scored the final run to win the World Series. That was 1991, and that's the last Minnesota championship other than the Lynx. So,
yeah, so only those, in Philadelphia those... would we have a split game 7. They played 3 innings, and then it snowed.
Game 5.
I thought it was game 7.
Nope.
Oh, we won 5 games? Because that was the game that won the World Series.
You remember Nancy went to game 5.
Yeah, and it was
split in half. They went to game 6.
No, there was no game 6. They finished game 5 the next day.
That's right.
Yeah. Weird. Weird situation. And Zachary was like 9. It was 2008. Zachary was 9. And I let him stay up. He was so excited that I let him stay up to watch the game. He was like, I can stay up, Mom? And I was like, yeah. And then when we knew that they were going
to
win.
That moment when Liz dropped to his knees.
Yeah.
Bruce and Ruiz just comes time. Out.
Brew cries at the album and ended his career, basically, because that's when he hurt his ankle. But I gave Zach pots and pans, and we went out front, and the whole neighborhood was out. It was really cool. It was a good memory. All right, B&B Brew Corner.
I'm drinking,
what are you drinking, Ben?
Some Surly Furious IPA.
Surly Furious.
Mm-hmm. Surly Brewing Company from the Twin Cities.
Oh.
I got Sierra Nevada.
Yeah, he's appropriately belching all night. Gosh. What are you drinking, Miss P? You drinking anything tonight?
Oh, yeah, I'm drinking wine. I'm drinking 19 Crimes.
Oh, I've heard about those.
Yeah.
I am drinking wine as well. I have my $6 Wegmans Nectar, sweet nectar. It's good times. It's good stuff. All right, useless information. Is everybody ready?
Oh, hold on.
Sure.
Yes.
Got to bring it up.
All right, go ahead, Miss P.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh. Prince Charles has an Aston Martin that runs on biofuel made out of wine.
Oh.
I don't think we've had it.
Completely useless, but interesting nonetheless.
That was interesting, yeah.
This one?
Ben?
Hmm.
We haven't had that.
I am going to let everybody know that fish don't exist.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need to explain more.
Oh, you need more explanation. Oh, okay. Glad you asked.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take you at your flipping word.
It all boils down to the fact that, you know, like, when it comes to scientific classifications, like, it's all based on evolution, right? So, you know, like, primates all evolved from a similar evolution, or from a similar species. Mammals all from a similar species. But fish have all evolved from several different types of species. And therefore, it used to be a classification that covered, you know, basically anything that had gills, that lived in the water, and their appendages were like fins. But since then, they've discovered that several fish actually evolved from similar species than like mammals evolved from. And there's like multiple phylum within the fish species. So they all evolved from different species. So therefore, the classification of fish doesn't exist anymore.
That was way too complicated.
So like lungfish actually evolved from similar species, from the same species as a cow. So essentially, there either are no fish or we are all fish. So therefore, fish don't exist. Or we be fish.
We are all fish.
I
don't know what to say to that.
If you're a fish, I'm a fish.
We're all fish.
We're all fish.
True.
Or fish don't exist.
I'm looking.
You make the choice. You can either say I'm a fish or fish don't exist. There's no middle ground.
Well, I don't think.
And it's completely useless because it doesn't matter what we call them. I mean, if we call them fish, who cares? It's what we're used to.
Have we had this one yet? A group of hippos is called a bloat.
No, we haven't had that.
Nope. Unfortunately, I knew that.
Oh, of course you did.
Well, you know, coming from the guy who said we're all fish.
We're all
fish. Well,
coming from the guy that said we're all fish.
All right, so I'm going to stay in the animal vein of our useless facts. In the Scottish, I think it's Hebrides.
Scotland is ringed on the west by the Hebrides Islands.
Hebrides?
To the Hebrides Islands.
I'm sorry if you're Scottish and I messed that up. An island is defined as being an island only if it is big enough to sustain one sheep. I guess they have islands that are smaller than enough to sustain one sheep.
Oh, geez.
I wonder what they call them. Are they called Beelins?
BTG?
Right?
I don't know. But I do know how a Scottish person, how a Scottish person finds a sheep in tall grass.
Oh, no.
Very satisfying. Another, like,
it's going to be another fence post thing. What was the answer?
Very satisfying.
Oh, Lord. Jeez, Louise. I'm sorry, Scottish people. I'm Scottish. My family is from Scotland.
And that's a joke you can use for Australians. You can use it for South Dakotans. Oh, I mean, it's not just... I mean, you can use it for Irish people. I mean, any place that really likes their sheep, you can use that joke. So you're welcome, Clash Pod listeners. You have a joke for... any sheep farmer that you know.
Oh, yeah, because people are sheep farmers. That's a thing. How many sheep farmers do you know, Jen?
Oh, I have plans with one tomorrow for lunch.
My dad raised sheep. Come on. So I can say that kind of sheep.
Ben is a sheep farmer.
No. He actually got sheep after I graduated from high school.
Oh my god, I'm crying. So, jeez,
I was never a sheep farmer.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Oh god.
Now that we got past that, thank goodness, Lord. Shout outs. Miss V.
I am going to shout out Tribe in Proverbs 31. Mm. They just recorded their last episode.
I listened. That was sad.
I will miss them and their voices a lot. So stick around, you guys. Maybe come back one day. I don't know.
Maybe we can have them as guests.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I like it. Unfortunately, I just saw that Proverbs found a bug in her salad from Wendy's today. So I'm sorry, Proverbs.
Proverbs. Yeah. Where'd you see that?
She tweeted it, and then she put it in the food channel in CFF Discord.
I try and go on tweets and tweet her all the time.
Tweet.
Oh, there it is. Oh, girlfriend.
Miss B, did you see that I mentioned you in a tweet earlier?
With no response.
He tweeted.
He tweeted?
It was his Twitterversary, and he blamed you for him getting Twitter.
Oh, hey. Where does it say? Oh, really? It didn't even show up on my thing that you did that.
It's true. It is true. I tagged you in it. It is true.
I remember. That was all a long time ago.
It was.
I was like, hey.
You're to blame for my one tweet a year.
Do you hate Twitter? I was acting as the K2 secretary back then. I was like, hi, I'm trying to...
You mean K-0-2?
Oh, shut up.
Oh, Lord. There we go. Do you have any other shout-outs?
No, that's it.
Okay. BTG?
Well... As mentioned earlier, I was going to shout out Queen JJB for maxing out for the first time in her Clash career. Woo! Congratulations!
Nice job, girlfriend!
Almost 9 years.
And then my anti-shout-out is also going to go to Queen JJB.
Here we go.
For her stupid troop request of Yetis only, no fill.
Don't give me any fill. Honestly, can I
so we constantly have a freaking green arrow indicating that there's an unfilled troop request.
I'm just trying to help. Yes. If you want to fill it, I'm just going to dump it. So if you want to waste your gems,
waste my gems and see that green arrow.
Yes, I will waste my gems from now on. But it's annoying.
Okay. Let me just explain to the listeners what the flip is going on right now. Okay. I was using Bewitch for a really long time with Yetis, and it was not doing well. So I was like, I have to find another attack. But it has to be a spam attack, because I don't do well with these, like, queen charge googly boo attacks where there's, like, a million different kitchen sink troops to figure out. Right?
Queen charge googly boo.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to invent an attack and call it the queen charge googly boo.
Okay, so I can't do that stuff. Like, I can't do a million phases. I drop the wrong troop, or I drop the wrong spell, or I have the wrong siege, or I go in the wrong corner. It's just too complicated, right? Give me a two-stage attack. Funnel, drop. I'm good. Great. Got it. So, I Google spam clash attacks. I don't remember whose attack he's...
Are we going to get to the point where you can't have any fill in your troop request ever?
Yes. No. What?
Okay. Okay. This has nothing to do with why you can't have fill in your troop.
Yes. No. Okay. No. Okay. That's where I'm getting to. So I Google spam attacks. I'm getting there. So I find this attack, and it's Yeti clone, because I don't like the Invisi super whiz things. They don't work for me. I can't do Invisi spells. I drop the Invisi too far on something, and it doesn't kill something. Too complicated. Keep it simple, people. So there's this Yeti clone attack. But he says three times in the video, you cannot fill your troops in your CC. You just take Yetis, because if you bring little troops, then your clone will clone the little troops and not your Yetis. Okay, got it. Thanks. Good tip. So I do it. And when I started, I went into Legends League. And the very first time I did it, I got a 3-star. And the second time I did it, I got a 3-star. And the third time I got a 3-star. And I'm like, oh, I can do this.
This isn't a queen charge googly boo.
It's not a queen charge googly boo.
Did you write that down?
You drop your king and your queen. You see which way they go. And then you put your troops, the loons, drags, drag riders, blimp, and warden on the opposite side, and you just go. And make sure that you warden tome your blimp.
And don't forget to curse out the queen.
No, I don't have to curse out the queen as much. We have a good relationship now. I don't yell at her as much. Because she doesn't really have to do anything.
No.
She just has to kill things so that there's a corner that's cleared. That's really her only job.
It's still annoying. It's still annoying.
Whatever way you slice it. Fill it, and I will drop it. I'm just trying to help. That's all. I'm not going to use them, so you're wasting them.
You're still my anti-shout-out. And my shout-out of friends.
Okay, so. I'll take both. Do you have any other shout-outs?
Nope.
Okay. Brew?
I'm going to shout out Miss P.
Oh,
thank you.
Because she got a 6-pack in Noble.
Oh, thank you.
And she's coming to visit us.
I am coming to visit you.
She is.
So excited. Shout out BTG.
Yeah.
I have no guests. So.
No, you don't.
And my queen.
Okay. All right, my shout-out is going to be to Butters. Butters is creating a workout for Brew and I so that we can work out when we're camping. So I'm going to shout out Butters ahead of getting my workout. He told me to get resistance bands, so we have a little baggy thing. Like
it's
all in one spot.
It's in the laundry room.
Yeah. And there's resistance bands in there, and there's all different ways we can use them. And I sent him a picture of the thing, and he's going to create a workout that we can do while we're camping. He said, "What do you always camp near trees?" And I'm like, "Well, there's always a tree somewhere." Yeah,
there's a tree somewhere.
He's like, "Okay." I was like, "I'm a little scared, but okay, always near trees." So I'm going to shout out Butters, and I'm going to shout out everyone else in the Get Moving room. I have been pretty regularly going to the gym. It's been good.
Mm-hmm. You have been. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, it's been good. I think we're probably close to 2 months straight Nice. And at least 3 times a week, but typically 4 and sometimes 5. Last week was 5.
Mm-hmm.
This week is going to be 3 because I didn't get there. Oh, that's right. You're back.
Yeah.
I forgot.
I got there Wednesday.
Well, I went 3 times this week. So, but tomorrow and Sunday, I'm going to spend 12 hours at a, I don't know, a theater watching girls dance. So, and then I'm going to shout out, Brew. I've been a bear this week. We've had a really rough week at home with Grace, and he's been really good about giving me a hug or whatever.
You'll hear all about it in a day and a half, Jen.
Lord. Yeah. It's been a week, but it's okay. It's over. So those are my shout outs. All right. So we have one more thing that we have to go over. We have a new option in the CFF family and fan Discord, and that is a membership on Discord. And I think it's $5.99 US, and that money will go towards ourselves and Pineapples and Thorns. And then also to use for giveaways for all these amazing events that we have, as well as some other things that we're working on. But if you choose to become a member, we will obviously probably have some sort of special podcast shout out type of process. Haven't quite got there yet, but you get a special role in the server, and you get 14 new colors that no one else has access to for your username. There's also a bot code creation, so you could have your own little like GIF or something like that, and then also more, like we talked about. There's some things that we're working on. So if you're interested.
And we offer shirtless hugs for members.
We do. If you're interested, you can go onto discord.gg/clashfiles. And at the top of the page, there is a little, I don't know if it's a chat room or a button or something like that. And you click it and it'll take you to where you go to subscribe. So any support is always welcome. Pineapples and Thorns probably records more regularly than we do, but we're about once a month. So I think that is our show today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any guests to thank, so thank you all for listening. This is JJ, and on behalf of Brew, BTG, and Miss P, stay fancy, my friends, and enjoy some shirtless hugs.
Shirtless hugs.
Peace.